better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is going to bring back a College World Series title to Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
2020 schedule gets released too. I think it's big news. Maybe nobody else thinks it's that big of a deal until this season goes through. But I thought it was interesting to at least see when the games will be played. Not the times, but at least the dates.
Do you think the timing of this is interesting? I mean, and this wasn't just, hey, Arkansas decided on Wednesday, August 7th to release the schedule. The SEC office had dropped a bunch of this.
Right.
Ruskin and Zach were pointing out yesterday, and correctly so, we don't even have the basketball schedule yet for this year.
Oh, I guess we don't. Wow. Yeah, we don't have that.
But yet we have the football schedule for next year. And I guess that just goes to show the importance of football in the grand scheme of things versus basketball.
Yeah.
I don't like, here's what I do. You know, we obviously like the Notre Dame game. We've known about it. And we've kind of known that date for a while. We'll get into some of the placement of the conference. I kind of dig this year having the two bye dates, the two off weeks.
I know
they started earlier. Next year's schedule starts September 5th. This year, obviously, we're August 31, as we all know. You know, this is something they've done about, what, one every 5 years or so, and I guess it has to do with where the calendar falls. You know, a lot of people wonder, how do sports calendars get set up? How does this work? You know how it works? You start with the Masters and work your way backwards. What you do, because the Masters is where it is in April. The Final Four is the weekend before. And you just kind of work backwards. Now,
I never thought of it that way, but yeah.
That's a lot of sports scheduling is done that way. That's how college basketball really kind of fits in. You'll never see the Masters and the Final Four on the same weekend.
No. And also, what channel is the Final Four and the Masters on?
CBS. Hello,
so
friends.
It's almost like it's a nice CBS little promo going in.
Right. It works very well there. College football, obviously, you work your way back from the championship games. So, I mean, that's just how a lot of this stuff is done, you know, when the calendar falls. I like the idea, though, of this week zero, as they call it, and having that extra week off of the season. But that's just selfish for me.
Yes.
Because I want another week of downtime to watch the sport I love, the sport you love, the sport we all enjoy. Not just Arkansas, but we love and enjoy college football. So it's just another weekend to sit on my fat butt and watch football.
Saturdays in the fall.
Why wouldn't we want the season to last a week longer? So that's one thing I was disappointed in, is we're going back to the old way of doing it with one bye week.
Can't have your cake and eat it too.
Well, I mean, why not?
There's certain things.
This is something we certainly could. So anyway, we'll get through this season and see how we enjoy the double byes. And then I think we need to start it with change.org. Where did we get that one petition?
Yeah, it was at change.org.
We need to get a petition going here, I think.
Right, well, hey, so far we're one for one. We might be two for two if they bring Midnight Madness back. If that's the case, we're really going to be rolling.
I'd be interested to see what the TV executives think about two bye weeks, because it spreads the games out more.
Yeah.
And what coaches and administrators think about it as well. It's got to be, I mean, they're always clamoring, always pounding clutching their pearls and waving their fist in the air about the student-athlete, the well-being of the student-athlete. Wouldn't it be better for the student-athlete to have an extra week to recuperate and to rest their body and to heal their body and to work on academics during the season? I don't know.
Be better for me.
It's all selfish for me.
Yeah.
I want one less weekend. We're grinding here at the radio station 7 days a week. And I want to sit on my fat butt and watch football. So it's my reasons are selfish.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to clutch my pearls and say, think about the student athletes.
When in reality, it's like, I don't care.
Really, I just want to eat hot dogs and grill hamburgers and watch football.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think we're all to that point. We'd all
love
to do that.
And it's one more weekend I can do that without working.
Why not three bye weeks?
Why not?
Just go for four. Just keep going.
Just keep bring it on.
Yeah, why not? Just keep it going. Make college football last as long as you can.
So what did you think of the schedule? I mean, obviously, that's Is this topic one today? Is this what the state's pulse? Is this? I mean, it's our job to have a finger on the pulse of the fan base. Is this the number one thing today?
I don't know if it's the number one
it's
thing.
It's so
because,
far off, and it does. I mean, it matters, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think that. Listen, there are some, I think, interesting talking points from the schedule, not just because of the schedule and it got released. There's actually some interesting things about it. But it was like when I was going through, of course, watching some of Andy Hodges' videos that he puts up that for us at hitthatline.com, watching some of those interviews, seeing some practice highlights, reading some recaps and all of that. I'm sitting there, I'm reading all of them like, yeah, there's nothing going on yesterday. Like there was nothing. There was nothing of note. And I'm not trying to hate on it. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Just saying that when you're going through all that and you're watching all that, there really wasn't anything notable. There wasn't anybody getting arrested. There wasn't any injuries. There wasn't anybody just really showing out or standing out or moving positions. This person became the starter. It just really wasn't anywhere like that. So I felt like the schedule might be number one because of that.
Chad Morris said the day before that, you know, we're going to put full pads on, but we're going to, he didn't use the phrase, we're going to ease into it, but he did say that Wednesday was going to be more of a teaching day before they got, you know, ultra physical about it. And they're going to go live, what is it, today, then more of a walkthrough Friday before the scrimmage on Saturday. So,
iron sharpens iron.
One practice at a time.
I just keep throwing it out there. It doesn't matter what the context is. Iron sharpens iron. I think that might be the big phrase this year.
One practice at a time. Can't get to one game at a time. We go one practice at a time.
I feel like he scaled back on the great day to be a Razorback in the opening of press conferences, too. So we're keeping up with all the little liners and cliches that he has in his press conferences.
Maybe we'll put them all on one album.
Yeah.
We'll just put them all on one track and play them all together.
Just put on a repeat.
Yeah.
So back and forth, back and forth.
But all right, so schedule.
Schedule-wise.
You want to talk about the schedule? Let's talk about it.
Well, we might as well while we're here. I mean, you know, it's early enough that we can find a way to screw it up. But, you know, my biggest takeaway from it all is, and this sounds weird because this is how my mind works. I'm going through it, and I see Mississippi State as the third game of the season. Now,
that's unusual.
If you sat there as a Razorback fan and you ranked all eight SEC games on the ones you care about the most, Mississippi State has never and probably will never be close to the top. They're never going to be a team that's perennially good or competing for the West, but they're never a team that you have some hatred for or you're competing against in a lot of recruiting. Like, it's just one of those teams. But I feel like, Tommy, and correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like ever since I've been following Razorback football, that game has been at least in the back half of the season, if not for sure in November. Mm-hmm. But this year,
that's generally always November.
Yeah, this year, it's September 19th on the road in Starkville. Mm-hmm. So that was the thing that stood out to me. And what the second thing that stood out to me, and I can't even take credit for this because I didn't realize it until it was tweeted out by Danny West of hogsports.com. That this is the seventh straight season, and or 2020 will be the seventh straight season that Arkansas opens SEC play outside the state of Arkansas. That's a pretty incredible stat.
I didn't even think to even look at it from that prism until Danny's tweet popped up. And then you look at, he listed the games where you've started the last seven. Some of that, you know, it's easy yet to hear that, to hear what you just stated there, which is fact. Mm-hmm. And get pissed off at the league office. Well, here we go again.
Getting screwed
by the man. All of these thoughts that rush to your head about how Arkansas is getting the shaft by the league schedulers again. And there's some truth in that. However, you got to look at some of these games, and Arkansas's open league play, what was it, three times in that set of seven.
Mm-hmm.
In Arlington against A&M.
Well, just real quick to give you the breakdown, 2014's when it started. You played at Auburn. Then A&M three straight years.
And the At-Auburn game was when they started the league network, and they...
That was the first game of the season.
They specifically placed some things around.
Right.
And I remember there was a lot of conversation about, all right, you got to go to Auburn to start the year, but we're going to give you a couple other, you know, nuggets here during the schedule to suffice for that.
Right, right. And then you had A&M three straight years, then at Auburn again, at Ole Miss in 2019 this year, and then at Mississippi State. So
three of the seven were against A&M. So... One, maybe two of those times would have been in Fayetteville if you didn't choose to play the A&M series in Arlington. Maybe. I mean, so just in fairness, to balance the statement out. So
yeah. And I get that, and I do, but it's just one of those things, though, that if you look back on it, you're like, this is weird, though.
It still
is weird.
At best case scenario, like 5 of 7, though.
Right, right.
At best case.
Best case scenario, yeah. And that's what's weird about it. And I wanted to throw this stat out, too, because I will take credit for this one. I didn't see anyone tweet it out, unless Hutch did it, because he tweets out a lot of stuff. But if you really look at it, Tommy, Arkansas has not won their first game in SEC play since 2010.
Ooh.
Think about that. 2010, when they beat Georgia on the road, Childs Please play.
Barely won that one.
Barely won that one. That was the last time Arkansas won their SEC opener.
Mm.
I mean, to me, that's an incredible stat as well.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, you're welcome. I wanted to add some...
That'll sober up real quick.
I wanted to add some downer flavor here early on a Thursday morning on the morning rush. So,
all right. Well, hey, that isn't an opinion.
No, I mean, it's fact.
That's not an opinion you just had. That's a factual statement.
And I'm all about the facts here on the Morning Rush.
It's nothing but facts.
Throwing out opinions and seeing if it sticks. But
I heard the guys in the afternoon talking about, you talk about things that jump out at you. And this is another just factual statement. I hadn't looked this up, so I'm trusting Ruskin got this right. I think he did.
All right.
Last time Arkansas did not play a game in Little Rock in a season was 1931.
I remember that season. It was great.
Yeah. But going back to the Great Depression.
And that's not happening in 2020. No game in Little Rock.
No, get the red light.
Hold on a second. There's no game in War Memorial Stadium next year?
Not next year. Not in 2020. Well, there is the red-white game.
Once again, there's no game.
There's no actual game.
There's no game. And fall, in the months of September, October, November, there's no games.
You talk about breaks from tradition. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to gloss over that because that is, I mean, yes, you got Notre Dame on the schedule. Yes, you're playing Mississippi State on the road in September. You know, some of the other things that stick out to me about this schedule is you only got one home appearance in the month of September. You know, 4 in October, 2 in November, and your last home game is against UL Monroe. So, I mean, there are some things that stick out, but I think one thing that has to be talked about, has to be noted, because it hadn't happened since the Great Depression, is you're not playing in Little Rock.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
So far in the show, obviously, we've been talking about the 2020 schedule being released for Razorback football, and it's amazing that, at least when how I felt when this was first released, was, of course, you know, hey, it's interesting to see who you're going to play and then what dates. We don't know times or anything like that, but second game of the season is going to be on the road to Notre Dame, you know, which is going to be fascinating, and I know that a lot of people are going to try to make that trip up there. I know we're going to try to make that trip up there for sure, but we're going to jump into that as well. And another thing about it, though, that really stood out and something that I know we've discussed is about the opening SEC play, once again, away from the state of Arkansas for the seventh straight year, and that's fascinating, too. But is it weird, though, Tommy, that I sit here and I don't get excited about that schedule? I don't think anything of that schedule as far as emotion towards it until this season's over, because if you have a bad year this year, and when I mean bad, I'm talking about 3-9, 4-8, something like that, where you really don't make the progress you're hoping to make, that schedule next year doesn't become fun. That schedule next year becomes daunting.
Yeah, it becomes a cloud hanging over your head. Now, I'm excited about next year. You mentioned the Notre Dame game. That has me excited because it truly is a once-in-a-lifetime trip. Yeah, I use that excuse with my wife a lot. When we won tickets to go to Augusta for a practice round.
Once-in-a-lifetime.
Babe, this is once-in-a-lifetime.
Never will happen
again. Then the next year, my brother won the lottery, and I got to go again. And, it, you know, so I've been a couple times. And her response, I thought this was a once-in-a-lifetime deal. Well, I think we can say playing at Notre Dame, For many of it, probably a one, because Arkansas football's been around
over 100 years. You know, 150. Is that what the patches signify?
That's college football.
College football. So over 100. We know that. You know,
what was it? 1898, I believe, was the first season.
The Arkansas Cardinals back then.
So this may be the one chance in your life as a Razorback fan to go to South Bend for a game. So I'm excited about that part. I'm not excited about the fact that you got to play Alabama and LSU back-to-back. Then you get an open date. So there are some things in this. I think we've talked about the Little Rock angle and not playing there. But I think for me, just knowing that something so special, so unique, the game's almost secondary on that Notre Dame trip. I think that's one of the byproducts of getting this thing out early. And Arkansas wasn't the only one to release the schedule. But I wonder from the University of Arkansas standpoint, does this help sell tickets this year because people want to be in line for next year to make sure they have this really good home schedule and then a chance to buy some of those road tickets? I find it, you know, interesting for a program right now that is desperate to sell football tickets.
Yeah, because a home schedule next year is nice.
Oh yeah,
I mean it's. I don't know if it's
7 games in Fayetteville.
Yeah, because I don't know if it's as good as what it was in 2016. You remember that year where you had Alabama, LSU, Florida, and Ole Miss all in Fayetteville? That one was pretty great. But this one,
Tennessee,
you get Tennessee, and when you mentioned Alabama and LSU, and then they have a bye week after Alabama and LSU. Then they play Tennessee at home. So you have three straight SEC home games in Fayetteville.
You think about this stretch: Notre Dame, Mississippi State, A&M. All in a row in September.
3 straight weeks.
None of those in Fayetteville. The only game in Arkansas in the month of September next year will be Kent State, the opener. Then it's October 3rd before you get back home. Then listen to this stretch. I mentioned Notre Dame, Mississippi State, A&M. Then you play Alabama, LSU back-to-back, which is bad enough, bye week. And then Tennessee, Auburn, Ole Miss in a row. Hooey.
That's winnable.
This could be really good or this could be a disaster.
I'm and see, sure. And that goes back to why I can't really have any sort of emotion towards this until after the season goes. Because let's put it this way, Tommy. Arkansas goes 6-6, 7-6 with a bowl victory in Shreveport or something. I guess Shreveport or, I don't know, pick your place of bad bowl game. Birmingham. Go with that. 7-6.
The worst of the lot.
Yeah.
Birmingham.
You go 7-6. You went 2-6 in conference play, and you had a nice little bowl victory.
Mm-hmm.
Does that do enough to say, all right, next year, this team made pretty tremendous strides. Next year, with what's returning and how it would happen this year,
well,
let's get pumped and excited.
If here's what they need for creating excitement for next year, everything you just said, get to a bowl and then win the bowl, because the momentum you get from energy inside your own fan base, whether it's a low-level bowl game, you know, obviously there's more excitement and anticipation around a team that wins a college football playoff or a New Year's Day 6. I get that. But the difference in winning your bowl game and losing your bowl game, you'd almost just not have a bowl game versus go and lose a bowl game, right?
Yeah.
Because the disappointment of, go back to the Virginia Tech game there against in the Belk Bowl in Charlotte. The level of frustration and anger following that, you'd have been better off to just stay at home and not play. You know, because it really was a downer and a wet blanket for the entire offseason.
Mm-hmm.
The lift you get off, just even if it's a meaningless game you win, which all of these games, for the most part, other than the New Year's Day 6 and playoff games, are meaningless. If you can find a way to win that, people have something to be upbeat about. And then you can talk about this wonderful home schedule, which it is. Bama, LSU, Tennessee, Ole Miss, all at home. It's a pretty good deal. That's what they need to sell tickets and to really start getting the fan base fired up again. The problem is, you win 7 this year, and you follow that up with 8. Can you increase the win total in 2020? Going to Notre Dame, playing Bama and LSU, back-to-back? Where are 8 wins on this schedule? That's where, you know, rubber meets the road.
And that's also where,
because at the end of the day, it's all about winning, John.
That's right. It is. And it is all about winning. But that's also where it comes into play of, okay, if you went 7-6 this year, how did you do it? Did you do it on the arm of Nick Starkle? Because if you did.
And that was my next point. Yeah. You have him come back.
Yeah. Because if you have him, okay, coming back, that's great. What about Rakeem Boyd? Did he have a big breakout year? Because if he did, you're having him back next year. That's going to be huge.
What about Treylon Burks? We talked about him earlier, and that spectacular catch they gave us some video on.
Yeah. What about somebody like Hudson Henry?
Are there players to be excited about? And that was going to be the next point, you're absolutely right, is if Starkel ends up being the quarterback at some point this year, and then you have him back with all these other players we just kind of listed on this young team, then people are starting to I don't think you're struggling to get above 50,000 in ticket sales or attendance. I think there's going to I think this Portland State game one, you may struggle to have 50,000 scanned tickets for that game. I really believe that.
It might be the worst attended home opener in Razorback history.
3 o'clock in the afternoon, playing a low-level opponent. You know, people haven't fully turned their attention to college football yet, even though the hardcore fans have, but you need more than just the hardcore fans to fill the stadium up. I don't know. I mean, I got an email from the foundation earlier, and listen, way down the list on donation levels given around here, all right? It's hundreds, not thousands. And they're giving away complimentary tickets to the Portland State game right now. What does that tell you?
Means they're not selling them, so they have to give them away.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
So I think that, you know, you need something in that offseason for that Kent State game, 12 and a half months from now to be highly anticipated, the return of a season, got to go see Starkel and Burks and Knox and all these guys, and people be fired up about a season.
Yeah.
But not going to be easy to move the needle again in 2020 if you can move it this year.
No.
And that's all about if you can move it this year.
Yeah. And it also comes down to this too, folks. If you're in the SEC West. It's just the reality you're in. You're in the SEC West. There's no schedule. There's no year where it's just going to be a cakewalk. All right? It's never going to happen. Because after Notre Dame next year, then your non-conference is Texas at home.
Yep.
And then guess what? You're still in the SEC West. You're still going to have to play those teams.
Right.
So it's not going to get any. There's never going to be a year where it's like, okay, well, just if we can wait till like 2023, then that'll be the year that you can really make some moves. No, I mean, it's going to be difficult no matter what. You can't expect your schedule to start sucking more to make you look better. You just got to get better. You just got to be a better team. You got to get to that point where you can actually look at the schedule and not have to say, oh, jeez, we may be better this year, but we still may only go 6-6. No, you just have to be a better team where you can actually go out and beat those teams. You can go out and beat the two Mississippi schools. You can go out and beat a team like Missouri. You can beat an Eastern opponent, whoever it ends up being. And who knows, maybe you can sneak up and beat an A&M, beat an LSU. Dare I say Bama? I won't even dare, because at this point it's pretty much a loss no matter what. But you get my point. You got to go out and you got to take care of business on your schedule, and you can't wait until it comes around to be where it's a bad schedule to be able to take that next step. You certainly can't do it. And also, just real quick, go back to your point, Tommy, about how those bowl games make a difference. What was the biggest reason why after 2014 people were excited about the Brett Bielema era? If they would have gone 6-7 losing to Texas, do you think the excitement? Do you think would have gotten that raise? Who knows? But 7-6 looks a lot better than 6-7.
Contract.
Yeah, with that stupid contract, 7-6 looks a lot better than 6-7, because you go from having a winning record to a losing record in one simple game.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
I don't think that there is a team, and this is where we got to put everything in perspective. There's not a team in college football that has, you can call it as a blessing or a curse, that Arkansas has with their scheduling. There's no other team that, because of one of their great alums and Jerry Jones, where they have to play a neutral site game every year in an NFL stadium. I'm not looking at that as a bad thing.
Or they get to play.
That's what I'm saying. It's either a blessing or a curse, depending on how you look at it. There's also not another team in college football that has to have a quote-unquote home game that's not home, but it's in your state, with having a game in War Memorial. There's no other team that's like that also in college football.
Kind of.
For the most part.
Here's why I'd say Alabama. How many years do they start the season off with a kickoff
this
classic
hour of the
in
morning.
Atlanta? In Arlington, in Orlando, where they're giving up some home games to play a blockbuster made-for-TV game.
But that's their one. That's it.
Yeah.
Arkansas.
No, you're right. It's the one.
Yeah.
Now,
you know, well, this program has three home stadiums. We've heard that. Well, nobody has three home stadiums, all right?
No one does. That does not exist.
And we've talked about Arkansas is at Missouri next year in 2020. It's a huge break from tradition in the fact that since the 30s, Arkansas is not going to play a game in Little Rock. You know, they started playing every year War Memorial in, what, 1948 when they built the stadium?
Mm-hmm.
And
it used to be, like, what, four games down there? Like, three or four games?
That was back when you didn't have 49.
You didn't have lights.
You didn't have lights. And then there was, and the population base of the state was Little Rock.
Fayetteville was just a small little college town.
Yeah. And it was disjointed and disconnected between Bentonville, Rogers. Now that whole thing's just one corridor of well over a half a million people that live in Benton and Washington County. And then it's easy to get from the River Valley from Sebastian or Crawford County. Times have changed because roadways and infrastructure has changed it. You had to play in Little Rock. A, they had lights, and B, that's where the money was. That was the population center of the state. And now and I think that's really underneath the surface one of the big rivalry things about our state and about this debate over whether Hogs should play or not play. Is it there is a Central Arkansas versus Northwest Arkansas. There's an undercurrent of rivalry there. Mm-hmm. I think we all recognize that. So you've got a lot of different things working into this that leave you in a situation like you have this year where you got two home games, and then next year, the even numbered years when you get Bama and LSU, it makes it more difficult to win at home, but you end up with Tennessee on your schedule at home, Ole Miss, and you got four games in Fayetteville. Well, because the Arlington game is technically A&M's home game that year. At some point, this Little Rock thing, you know, they're going to the golf course is closed.
Yep.
They're going to turn the land around it into some kind of development. They're still debating and deciding what the city should do with the land. But at some point, they're going to bring parks and buildings and commercial development and all sorts of stuff there on that prized real estate. Where are people going to park for a football game?
And are those people who build there, are they going to allow people to park in their lots if their businesses are open on Saturdays?
At some point, I think this Little Rock thing is going to work itself out for one of several reasons that are possible.
Yeah.
Attendance not being there, because remember, this contract has some attendance clauses in it to continue to play in Little Rock. The cost of infrastructure and the investments that the state and the stadium itself is going to have to make to keep one game there every other year. At some point, fiscal responsibility and just practical business sense says this isn't worth it anymore. And, you know, so there's several things at play here as far as continuing to play in Little Rock, which that'll help. But is adding one Missouri game every other year, is that going to push you over the edge to start buying season tickets again? I don't know about that either.
No. Well,
if the Missouri game got moved back, does that entice you more? Wouldn't me.
Well, and here's what aggravates me. Is because there's a lot of great teams in college football that obviously have great games, great seasons, great matchups, all of that. They're across the board. Now, I've even talked when we go to SEC Media Days, there's people from all over different SEC schools that cover those schools that I talk to about these things. And it's frustrating to me because I feel like, and according to talking to them, it's also pretty much true, that Arkansas is the only school in all of college football that year after year, there has to be some sort of debate, argument, conversation about the frickin' schedule and where the games are played.
Mm-hmm.
And it's aggravating to me. It's aggravating that we have to sit here every year. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but we have to sit here every year and say, Little Rock game, game of War Memorial. What about the game in Arlington and Jerry World, Dallas Cowboys Stadium? Why is Fayetteville not getting enough home games? Those aren't home games. They're losing money. The University of Arkansas football program should have bigger fish to fry than having to deal with this crap every single year.
But is it really even a debate anymore, John? Or is it just a conversation?
It's still happening, though.
Well, but less and less every year.
I know, but what if after that, what in 2024, what if they extend it?
Isn't it obvious they're weaning us off, weaning the
I'm hoping
the,
so.
It seems obvious to me. We'll play one game every other year, and the odd off years you get a meaningless spring football practice. I mean, this is a weaning off period. This is the long exit ramp that it's a quarter mile long to get you off the freeway here.
But I felt like it was that way just years ago too, where at the end of 20 19 or whatever is going to be. It was going to be the final
but
time.
But then you had transition. Remember, you could have had some, and then Jeff Long was new on the job as the AD. Is the first decision you're going to make is to piss off half the state, perhaps? Hey, you got this huge decision. Remember, Jeff Long had to extend that deal. And then it kind of, to some degree, got dumped. I mean, Jeff Long was still your AD. I think a lot of it, and had his way and got his way. The board stood in his way. And there's a big push right now about this one Razorback. But at some point, it's not just up to the Board of Trustees. The state's involved. The governor's involved. And at some point, all of this is going to come to a head. Because at some point, when you start developing all that land around War Memorial, and when you eliminate a lot of parking, and when you continue to put pen to paper on what it costs to play one game down there every other year, I think it's a decision that'll make itself.
It will, and I agree with you. But I know, too, that there's going to be a population of people, though, that because the game moves out of Little Rock, they will not come to Fayetteville for games. Even if they're a diehard Razorback fan, they're not going to want to come up to Fayetteville. They're not going to want to make that trip either out of protest or because they don't want to do
it. But the difference is, and we started this conversation about why were you ever doing it, and now we've come back, it's now under 3 hours to drive from Central Arkansas to Don W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium, where it used to be the old pig trail, go up the old 71 or come up 23, and it was a difficult task to get yourself into Northwest Arkansas. It was an well over 3 hour drive. There was a wreck or someone blocking the road or just slow traffic. It was miserable as a kid going to some of these games because it was a windy, curvy road, and I got car sick as a kid, so I hated it. and the only highlight was stopping in there in the Boston Mountains at the old Ozark Smokehouse or whatever it was. You'd have a sandwich that they weighed by the pound, Dad would be mad at you if you put too much ham on it. those were the highlights of the trip. It's all changed now. When's the last time you've driven the old 71? Have you ever driven the old 71?
Oh, I mean, driven it. I've driven it once, yeah.
But once. You're 30 and you've driven it yourself once.
Why would I? There's 49.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I still...
So that's my point, is it used to be a 4 hour deal or whatever to go from Little Rock to Fayetteville. Now it's a under 3 hour deal. It's easy. It's four lane the whole way. I don't think there's going to be as many people as you think not protest or boycott or not come because they're not going to play Missouri every other year down there at some point. So
the
whole point of this conversation is how does this affect Fayetteville season ticket holders? Because right now, not winning enough games is having a great effect, and I think the schedule this year, why would you, Robert called in a minute ago, what's the motivation to buy when you get two SEC games? Arkansas's just got some scheduling issues that include Little Rock every other year, include Arlington, that I think right now when you all have a team winning enough games really become a problem.
I don't know.
And the answer is to win more games, that's one thing, but that
the
takes time.
Answer, yeah.
That's the obvious answer. But if you're going to invest money in tickets, you want to see games.
That's right. And they invested all the money into that stadium. They invested all the money into the campus, into the parking, into the tailgate. They're investing all of this, and you're getting two freaking games in conference.
I know it. And that's why you look at next year, you get four.
Great.
Tennessee,
but then the next
Ole Miss,
year.
Bama, LSU. But that, is it enough every other year to have a great schedule every other year to continue to meet the rising cost of being a college football fan?
Because here's the thing, Tommy. That game against Missouri's in Little Rock again, right? In 2021, right?
Yes.
And where's
John, you get Texas. You're going to have the Texas game.
Doesn't matter. It's
they'll be waving that flag.
Yeah. Okay. So what about in 2023? You'll play Missouri in Little Rock. You'll play Texas A&M in Arlington.
Mm-hmm.
What about that game?
You got an every other year problem.
And that's how I feel about the whole thing. Is it's an every other year problem,
right.
True.
The even numbered years right now under the current scheduling model, it looks great. But the odd number years for your home schedule, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm. And it's frustrating because you feel like, or at least I feel like, no other program has this issue. No other college football program has this issue.
But we're past the point now where fans will just take it. Fans are willing to just not buy anymore. And until you're winning 8-plus games on a regular basis, it's going to be a problem for the university.
Yeah.
The 2020 schedule is great. It's a treat for the fans. I don't know how many games they can win out of it. Time will tell on that. But what you're getting this year is just... It's very difficult to put that credit card number in the computer to renew them.
Well, we still have beer. That's all I can say. We still have beer for you. That's all I got.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I did think it was interesting when something that we talked with Tom Murphy about, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, about 20 or so minutes ago, is wondering if there will be at any point an actual scrimmage opened up to the media and to the public, because this has also been something that's been discussed. But it certainly feels like when they're talking about struggling to sell season tickets or even tickets in general to Portland State, they're trying to find ways to get fans excited. I'm starting to think the more and more I hear about and more practices are going on, that I think that would do a lot. Something as simple as that. Just do a lot for people to be able to see it, report on it, and talk about it.
I think 10 or 15 years ago, it was easier for coaches to trust the process. The problem is these dadgum iPhones that we all got in our hands, or whatever device you carry around, have a camera, have a video camera. They're connected to the internet, so you're on social media. There's no secrets anymore. And unfortunately, from the media standpoint, it's gotten so broad. And so many people, the university doesn't want to get into, well, this person can come into practice because he works for this paper or this outlet. This person over here can't. You know, that's tough for them. The problem is you get some people into practice that don't know what should be out there and what shouldn't. And it's not that you're trying to hide certain things, but there's certain plays, certain pictures, formations. When the pot boils over between a player and coach, a fight in practice, there used to be a certain understanding about what made it to print, what made it to air, and what didn't. And now those lines are really blurred or maybe even non-existent. And that's why all these coaches are so paranoid, and I get it. And you know what? If I was a coach, it'd be very difficult for me to convince somebody, unless I thought my team was really good and well-disciplined, to let media into my practice.
But that's why you just don't allow phones, allow cameras, video, anything like that. You just, first off, you don't allow it. And it might be one of those things that, hey, even if it's an invite only, because I ain't going to get my feelings hurt if they invite Clay or Tom or just a certain amount. I know some people will.
That's a lie.
You think I'd get offended?
That is a lie. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Why?
Yes, you would be on here pissing and moaning and whining and complaining.
How many practices do I go to now?
Well, I mean, but what's the point of going to a practice now when you get 20 minutes? We've got our guy Andy there. I mean, you're only going to get to see him stretch and maybe run one or two team periods, maybe.
And punts. Punts are important.
Some Pascelli. Now Bielema used to have a deal where there were some certain guidelines and rules and some understandings, and it was media only, nothing open to the public. I don't know. I think there's a trust level that's got to be established with this coaching staff. And let's face it, if you thought you were going to win 9 or 10 games this year, Chad Morris's viewpoint of it might be much different. But when you got a team that's full of young kids, 52 freshmen of all types, you know, you want to control the message. And this is their way of controlling the message.
Which I get. Yeah, you want to control the message, but you got to generate excitement. You got to generate people to be able to go and buy tickets to this thing.
But if you didn't get invited, if you weren't on the list of all this,
Like I said, I don't go to practices
would be show material for... Yeah, no, but if there was one where you could see the whole thing...
That's why we have Andy.
If they opened up practice Saturday and said, you can come and watch the whole thing. If we got that email later today that, hey, Coach Morris has decided the media can watch practice today, you're there. I'm there. We're watching that baby.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
But if it's like
Is it worth... I mean... 30, 45-minute drive, it's worth it to go to the press conference after, but to watch the 20 minutes? It's a time decision. So, I mean, absolutely we would be there if there was a full practice.
But if it was a Tuesday night, they're like, hey, practice is open tonight, you know, for the media to go, I probably wouldn't go. I don't think you would go.
Listen, for me, a normal practice, I would like to see the team periods. I'd like to see what little bit of scrimmage they're going to run against each other in those team periods. But what I want to see are the Saturdays. Saturdays that are all that matter to me at this point.
What's the full scrimmage that you get to see?
Because now I can start developing a depth chart. People talk about practice stats. yeah, I'm 50-50 on those because A, they're hard to keep and be accurate. B, I mean, I want to know who scored touchdowns, who had interceptions.
Yeah.
But I don't really care about yards and all that stuff. But what I want to see is who's in slots. Who is at left guard? Who is at right guard? Who came in when that person went out? I want to see the one-on-one stuff, you know, ones versus ones. And who's winning those battles at the line of scrimmage? Those are the things you can't really pick up in a press conference, taking other people's word for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I totally get why Chad Morris wants to make sure that information, that intel, doesn't get out there, because it's easier than ever for the coaches in the office at Oxford, Mississippi, to look at a video and maybe glean something from that that could be an advantage.
Yeah.
And paranoia is just part of coaching.
I'd like to see, though, just in comparison of the rest of the SEC schools, of like how many of them actually do have like one or two open practices, open scrimmages to media, at least media. I'd just be curious because I don't know. I don't know how much it is, but
and
just
this
to
thing
compare
is,
it.
This thing, and that's scheduled in advance and told you. But listen, this thing isn't open or isn't over yet. You know, it doesn't mean that on the 17th or the 24th or something that Morris wouldn't make something available, or a, like you said, a Wednesday practice where there's going to be more contact. But I'm not interested in there watching them have a, you know, thud drills either. So if I'm going to go, I want it to be worth my time. I think you're the same way.
Yeah. No, I mean,
the scrimmages are where we can really form opinions that I think have some weight to them.
It is a tradition like no other, though, to hear when you're in the group of media up there in the stands watching these games and hear Tom yelling over at Clay, just be like, hey, what'd you guys get on that 23-yard game? Oh, I got 24. Are you sure? Oh, well, he was just like sitting there like, guys, just throw it out there. It's fine. But it's always a great, it's almost like a different type of version of play-by-play. Is that how they did in the old days before scoreboards and stat takers? You just, people were yelling back at each other. Hey, how long was that? Yeah, so that's what really I'm going to miss. Let's go to the phone lines and welcome in Gentle Ben here on the Cherokee Casino Hotline. What's going on, Gentle Ben?
Hey, guys. Boy, I have something I want to talk about, but golly, y'all stole the most important thing. Anyway, everything y'all been talking about, whether to be there or whether or not, because it brings back so many old memories. I believe one of the last coaches to allow everybody to come in and watch all the practices and all that kind of stuff was Houston Nutt. And I'll never forget it. Talk show here in Little Rock, there was a fan that had the phone and all that stuff, and somebody got injured so bad they didn't bring this stretcher out, but it took 3, 4, 5 guys to get into the locker room because he was so injured. And they were talking about it. They called it in on the show, you know, about the injury, and Coach Nutt did not even know about the injury yet. The coach of the team and the practice did not even know about the injury yet until he heard it when practice was over, when he was going into the locker room, whatever, or his office, and was listening to Drive Time Sports. So I think it's some of that that caused the quietus on media getting in, or especially fans. But I always want been the type to want to know everything I can know, like every other fan that loves the Hogs and bleeds Razorback red and all that good stuff. But if it helps us win to not know anything, I'm all for not knowing anything. And I know the ticket sales mean a lot, but, you know, if you go to a red-white game and it's just mellow vanilla, boring, and you don't get anything out of it because they don't want to show anything, I don't know if that helps ticket sales or not. So I'm sorry, I just had all them thoughts on my mind. I appreciate you letting me get them out. But I did want to share how that in 7 or 8 years, like Petrino's last year here, how great we were. We were number 3, playing number 1 at the end of the season, maybe having a shot at going to the SEC championship game, went in and playing the national championship game, and look where we're at today, where we're questioning the offensive line, and one of our best blockers is out for the season. But there's hope for the future because we've never had a class, no coach, Frank Broyles, Ken Hatfield, Lou Holtz, nobody after them has ever had 14 four stars and 1 5 star say, I want to be a Hog and sign on the dotted line the same season. So thanks for letting me get all that out. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate your phone call as always, Gentle Ben. You know, because when we were talking about the media access and all that stuff, listen, I also don't want anyone thinking that, you know, we're on here and we're just bashing the fact that we don't give open practice, because trust me, there are other big time programs, Oklahoma, for example, where it's like no access whatsoever.
Yep.
No filming practice. You get to talk to the head coach and that's it.
Well, I mean,
nobody
we want
is.
Access because it's better for the show.
Yeah, well, I mean, selfish reasons, of course.
Better content. But Clay was reminding me during Gentle Ben's story there that really the reason Houston Nutt was upset is the mother, the parents of the injured
player, I remember,
heard it on the radio before he could even have a chance to get off the practice field and call the parents, say, hey, we got an injury here.
Yeah. And that's the last thing you want.
And I don't remember that specific, but I do remember the Nile Davis situation where, yep. where there was what turned out to be a broken ankle.
And he was out for the season.
And now a season-ending injury, and the media were watching that day, and, you know, and there was some conversation and some rules that, hey, if an injury happens, you're not to, and this was when Twitter was really starting to get its feet under it. And it was out there. People would, you couldn't tweet, you couldn't do anything inside the stadium. So what did people do? They left the stadium
to do it.
And, you know, that technically fit the rules. But again, when a player's injured, those are the things that worry a coach. You know, player injury, something happens. I don't want to find out.
A fight breaks out.
On Twitter that my kid's been injured.
Yeah.
I want someone to call and tell me.
For sure.
That A, they're okay, and B, here's what's going on. So I totally get why some of the access is limited, because there's a trust factor. And it's not just because of individuals. It's because of these stupid phones. It's just too easy. And we're all in this race to be first. Not be right, be first. You know, and that's not always a good thing.
I'd rather be funny. I forget being first or being right. I'd just rather be funny about it. But no, I get all that. And I understand it. Again, it's not that we don't get enough access. It's just one of those things you got to throw out. It's like, hey, I think it'd be good for the energy and the excitement if you just had one. But again, we got what we got. Well, that's what we're going to have to deal with, and I'm fine with it.
And it may change before the end of it. But again, paranoia is like the second or third requirement to be a coach. You got to be paranoid about everybody trying to get in and steal some kind of information from you about something.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they don't have someone standing on guard in the upper deck with a shotgun to shoot down drones. You know, they're worried about
rifle up,
you know, worried about some opposing coach sending a drone over by the practice field to, I mean, that's the thoughts that go through these guys' minds. Mm-hmm. Seriously. They're worried about this stuff. And I get it.
Yeah.
You know, and one thing we were talking about, you may not understand why that little picture that seemed meaningless to you got out there, but to the coach, that showed the splits in the offensive linemen, or that showed some kind of formation we were saving for that Ole Miss game. And now it's out there. That's what angers coaches.
Yeah. No, again, I totally understand it. It's just something that, you know, made to help out the excitement. But who knows? It'll change. It might change in the coming weeks.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.